Hello, this is Angela, and I want to welcome you to my podcast today, Springs of Zion. Today's podcast is entitled Kingsley. So before we begin, let's pray. Father God in heaven, it is our desire here to move as your assembly, to hear your Holy Spirit speak through me as I am your vessel, Lord, to convey the things that this group, these followers today need to hear. We ask you to open heaven, to fill our hearts and minds with your knowledge and wisdom today. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to celebrate your feasts so that every mold of fear had been broken over the Day of Atonement, so each one can rise and to walk out their God-given assignment in this season. Please cover this podcast, Father, with your heavenly protection as you pour into each one listening. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Okay, so we experienced the days of awe together. There were three parts to the days of awe. If you want to go back and listen, or maybe you've already listened, but the Holy Spirit informed us about Stephen, who was martyred, even though he was filled with great faith in the Holy Spirit. He was martyred by the religious people, right? The religious Jews. So, after participating in the feasts, we are atoned. We celebrated the Day of Atonement. We were washed of our sins. That means we don't look back at what we've done, said prior to that. It's over. We're washed. We're forgiven. So now our spiritual well is going to be filled with God's holy word, with God's spirit, in this new era that we're walking in. Right? So Stephen in Acts 7, chapter 7, his death has really scared the believers. So they scatter because they're afraid of persecution. And though some of them were told were actually caught, and they are beaten and put in prisons. Others leave the area. In Acts 8, we're introduced to a fellow named Simon, who's a religious zealot, and he carries the religious spirit. Yes, and he deceives the people with his spirit, the people of Samaria. And he passes this as a kind of divine power. We're told this in Acts 8, verses 9 through 11. But then he comes across Philip's teaching, and he believes Philip, and he's baptized. Awesome. He's amazed at the miracles which Philip was able to perform. He was puzzled, Simon was, and he wanted to perform them as well, right? Peter told Simon his heart was not right with God. Acts 8:21. He told him to repent of his wickedness and pray God for forgiveness. And this same plan is given to us in other parts of God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 24 through 26, and 1 John chapter 1, 8 through 10. Simon gives a sign of his repentance by asking Peter to pray for him in verse 24. So my point here is God's word is effective in turning around anybody's life who listens or hears it. It doesn't matter if they claim to be a divine power. God's word will basically uncloak that and reveal that religious spirit. Christians can be forgiven for sins after baptism by repentance and prayer. We need to read about God. We need to soak in his word, meditate on it, pray about it, speak about it with other people, talk about God as much as you can. That is how we just resonate in him. Philip tells us that the eunuch, that if in chapter 8 still, sorry, verse 36, he tells the eunuch that if he believes with all his heart, he can be baptized. So if you're waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's something in your heart that's not right. We need to confess it to God. We can confess it to one another too, but we need to actually take it to God. The eunuch confesses his belief and is baptized. During baptism, they both went down into the water, suggesting this was more than a sprinkling or a pouring. Furthermore, in verse 39, we're told they come out up and out of the water. So during the baptism, they both went down into the water, suggesting this was more than a sprinkling, and then they came out together. It reminds me when Jesus was baptized by John. He took him down into the water and comes up and the heavens open. That is the pouring of the Holy Spirit. So if you have a religious spirit, it is blocking you from hearing God's voice. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is not really fear. Fear in this sentence is wisdom. If we fear the Lord, we put the Lord above everything else, Lord God, above everything. Yahweh is calling us. Father God is calling us to be His Book of Acts church. I am so firm on this. This prophetic shift we're moving into as of the 26th, which was 2 days ago, this is what God's doing. In fact, the Spirit of the Lord told me, go to Acts 15, Angela. This is encouraging. And if you read Acts 15, after these things, I will return. That's what's written. He's talking to the prophets. I will rebuild the tent. The tent is the church, right? They would go into tents back then. They didn't have buildings. The tent of believers, of David, which has fallen. So Jesus is the descendant of David, and we are part of Jesus by the branch of our faith, right? He's going to rebuild its ruins and restore it. And He does this through a correction to realign us. I'm not going to say judgment. I'm going to say correction, because we judge the enemy, but we get corrected by our Father, like we would correct our children. He provides us with knowledge so that we can participate in things like His feasts to receive spiritual cleaning. He gave me a dream, which I shared on my last podcast, about all the areas within His church that He is going to correct. It's also on my blog if you want to go back and read it. Springsofzion.blogspot.com. Our merciful Father gives us Psalm 65 to encourage us. David tells us in the Psalms to await, our carts and our crown will be full of abundance. So if you're struggling right now, stand firm that God is still on the throne. Profess it every time you hear something contrary to that. We must train our minds and our speech to align with God. God has ordained our crowns, and He will fill our carts with abundance. We have to stick it out, you guys. We got to believe the promise. If you're here listening, you're seeking God with all your heart. God will give you your crown. He needs us to be crowned because the world has turned away from God, right? Our words have power. So keep professing God's power in your life. So this brings me to the word that I was given about Kingsley. But first, I just want to say real quick, God is making everything known to us as we seek Him. Continue to ask God what your lesson is in this season. If you're in the same merry-go-round over and over, you haven't learned something He's trying to teach you. I always say, okay, I want to move on from this. I've seen this before. Lord, show me in your word so I can understand. Our displayed faith in God will become our shift in this season. He's going to come minister to your heart. If you will just pause yourself, stop for a second, take the time to be patient and understanding with yourself first. To allow God's Spirit to come, to give you revelation and comfort. God comes. Allowing God to love in you this way will enable him to deposit a love in your spirit for other people, and you won't be afraid anymore. You'll be surprised. I know I was when it happened for me. I'd be like, oh wait, I didn't respond like I normally did when that person was so rude. I just was like, oh, I hope you have a better day. That is the shift that's happening within you. You'll see the plans of the enemy before you step into the snare. And I promise, this is going to happen. Once we have the notion or revelation, God moves. Once we receive truth, we don't fall for the snare of the enemy, and God's abundance comes over us. I heard the Lord say, posture your heart, dear one, in patience and understanding to receive my love. So, you guys, posture your heart. Listen. Let God deposit understanding within your soul. Everything that was in your soul that was not of God will just melt away. You have freedom. You didn't even know the things you were holding on to. As they leave, you're like, oh, thank you, Lord. So let's posture our heart today to receive, and God will pour his oil into our spiritual well. Your expectations will multiply. All of a sudden, you have great faith. With great faith, God moves. And you know without a shadow of doubt, God is on the throne, and there's no reason to worry because he's got this. So that was the intro. I hope I have enough time to say the word of Kingsley. So the Lord gave me the word Kingsley, and I was like, well, to tell you what Kingsley means is it refers to the royal connotation that translates to King's Meadow, King's Wood, or King's Glade. It's also associated with an Old English word, as an Old English word, royal victory, strength, and wisdom. So here I'm thinking, oh, God's going to talk about our coronation again. And then he gives me a vision. And I'm confused. But it's funny how God does this, because he gives me something, and then he gives me something, and then he gives me something. And I have to be wait, and I have to be patient, and then it all comes together. So he gave me Colossians 4:3. Pray for us that God may open to us a door to declare the mystery of Christ. All last week, I was hearing doors, doors, and doors, doors. And then a friend pointed out when I showed her this word, and we ordered blue doors. I mean, so honestly, I heard doors more than 5 times. But in my post, I say, after 5 times, I finally realize, okay, Lord. He's saying, Angela, share the vision I gave you. So I'm going to share it. And I had to thank God for his grace in my weakness, because I am confused at times what to share. So I appreciate you guys and your patience in following along. I was shown 2 doors that looked exactly the same. And not thinking, I just opened the first door, and it is full of worldly treasures, and it looks fun and inviting. And as I walk through the door, it changes, and immediately regret my decision. To my surprise, I see Jesus in the street. So I quickly begin following him. His robe sways back and forth, and each step he takes, it's noisy here in this place, and it's a dark night. As I follow Jesus, I begin to notice the noise is coming from the streets around me. I hear sirens, emergency vehicles, screams, people fighting inside their homes and on their lawns. The city is completely filled with chaos. I feel anxious, and I'm beginning to formulate my words, and Jesus turns and says, turn to look back, and I see Jesus has continued down the street with his robe swaying back and forth. He didn't miss a beat. And I feel the pit has opened. I step out into the hallway and turn towards door number 2. I pray a quick prayer of Psalm 91 and put on my full armor of God before I turn the doorknob. This time, as I open the door, it's different. I'm relieved. I see soft rays of yellow and amber lighting. I'm curious because this room has clouds on the floor, on the ceiling, on the walls. And in the middle of the room, there is a floating crown. I know this is the right door. So I step in. The room immediately changes. I'm greeted by a host, and he helps me put on my robe and crown. There is a long line of us doing the exact same thing at the exact same time. A chariot arrives with flames of fire as wheels, and I get in and sit down. Immediately, we're swept away. Next, my chariot stops abruptly. A hand reaches in and takes my arm and ushers me out. I have on a heavy mantle robe, and I'm carrying a scepter. I look down to find I'm wearing royalty attire. I'm nervous. I'm excited. There are hundreds, maybe thousands of us, each one dressed as royalty, forming a long line. We're walking towards a beautiful palace and high pillars made of white stone. Around the windows, the gold is reflecting the light, making everything sparkle. The pillars are higher than any building and stretch out, way out of my sight. I feel his majesty everywhere. The angels begin to line the sides of the aisles, singing, "Holy, holy, holy," for their revelation of God is beyond my imagination. And when I look back, I see my family dressed in royalty attire. I smile and turn towards the front, and I see my Lord and Savior Jesus. I have entered my coronation ceremony. That was the end of my vision. And I thought, oh, this is fun, right? Well, in the meantime, God is sitting on his throne. He shows me that he is concerned. He takes me to not only the name Kingsley, but he takes me to the author named Charles Kingsley, who wrote a book called Water Babies, which I have not read, but he was quoted for being very concerned for Christian redemption. And he says, "Take comfort and recollect, however little you and I may know, God knows. He knows himself and you and me in all things, and his mercy is over all his works." So we need to have faith, blind, solid faith. And how do we do that? We sit at the foot of Jesus like Mary, not like Martha. Learn to fully understand what Jesus did at his crucifixion. He is the door to the Father. This knowledge will bring victory in the form of our coronation. I have great faith for every single one of you listening. You are enough. You are chosen. But we can't fall asleep like the disciples did in the Garden of Gethsemane. So let's consider how his death is defined. Think of the dread which we witness in our Lord as he wrestles with the reality of death's consequences in Gethsemane. He earnestly prayed in the garden, not once, but three times, that the cup of death might pass from him. As the appointed hour drew near for him to bear in himself the sins of all mankind, it was more, much more than physical death, which our Savior faced. When we compare Jesus' statement on the cross as faithfully recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, we are made to understand that at his crucifixion, Jesus' spirit departs from him. Jesus dies. He's dead. And he knew all too well the consequences of sin. He knew all too well that when he bore the inequities of the world in himself, that just the punishment of a holy God would be metered out. He knew that for the first time in all time and eternity, he would be separated from his heavenly Father, his Abba, his Father. So with this in mind, I'm given an interpretation of my dream, or my vision. It wasn't a dream, sorry. By the Spirit of the Lord. Door number one, a door of one soul. This door is about worldly treasures full of deception, false peace, and open to the demonic frequency. Those hearing and walking with Jesus will be protected. But we need to be aware the enemy is tricky. He knows the kind of hooks that he can put into us. So don't be deceived. I heard in this season there's a frequency being broadcasted. And it started September 26. I turned off my Amber Alert on my cell phone. We can assume our enemy has already searched this out and even practiced it. So stay awake. God gave me Ezekiel 7. I'll let you look that up. Door number two is the door of unity with Christ. This door opens into the most holy place and is completely saturated by the olive tree of Jesus. We are told the holy place is made of cypress wood, which is not deliberately planted, but a tree that grows spontaneously and watered by the powerful hand of God. Its sides are made of olive wood, which, if you look it up in Strong's, means peace of the Lord. Once a soul enters this door, their path leads to their coronation with God. Mark 9. So, what are our plans in the coming battle? First, we ready our spirit by listening and waiting on God. Reading His Word, worshiping to Him. To hear from God, I usually have to fast. When my flesh is weak, the Lord speaks. Praise God. Consider bending down at your bedside like you did as a child and pray. Surrendering everything to the Father, getting on your knees is surrendering. Putting your hands up in church, both hands in worship, is surrendering. Allowing your soul to stop and your that action allows your spirit to rise. And trusting Holy Spirit to do the work within each of us to convict, regenerate, and edify. Guard yourself before even stepping out of your bed in the morning. Say a prayer of protection over you and your loved ones so the enemy doesn't have a foothold all day long. Ephesians 4, 27 and 28. And then lastly, choose Jesus above everything. If you can't make a decision on something, say, let me pray about it. Let me pray about it. When people ask you to do something, let me pray about it. Check with God. He will let you know. You will feel a witness. You will feel peace. Or ask God to send someone that you trust to give you a witness. Pray with a friend. Ask the friend if they're hearing for God for you. And remember, Jesus never leaves us. I found Him in door number one, looking to help for anyone who had called out to Him. Hebrews 13:5. In my vision, the frequency wave made people do things they didn't want to do. I saw people being unkind to one another and they were living in total chaos. I heard this frequency bends their will because Jesus is not the Lord of their life. We have to make Jesus the Lord of our life. And if you don't know how, ask the Spirit, what is in the way? And then the Lord revealed CERN as the weapon. This machine, and I put a link on my blog to a video that you can listen to. I heard this battle will be short, but if we're not walking and serving the Lord, then we're serving the enemy or we're serving ourselves. Psalm 143. God gave me Ezekiel 39 as confirmation that the battle is not ours, it's God's. And the two dark lords, which He gave me their names, they're in Daniel 8. They're two kings, Media and Persia. Those are the white and black hats in our world. And they're going to battle. They're going to be fighting, especially in this new year because it's an election year in America. And God's going to let them go hog wild, and then He's going to destroy them. And we're already seeing it. I think Oprah is under attack for her sins and many others. And they'll either just disappear or they'll step down. I mean, it's going to be amazing. And I got confirmation from another watch woman. And just know God is working. He's working all the time, even when we can't see it. He's working in me, He's working in you, and He's working to destroy our enemies. So let's pray. Father God in heaven, we come before You and through Your Son, Jesus Christ, because He is the door to Your kingdom and Your throne. We sincerely give our emotions, our mind, and will to You today. Please reveal and remove any hindrances that any one of us listening have so that we can hear Your voice of instruction. Please send Your Holy Spirit to fill our souls with Your love, with Your will, God, leading us to the path to shine Your light just like in Your palace. I pray Your kingdom comes and Your will is done in my life and every single person listening today. And from hereafter, I thank You, Father, for Your Son, Jesus, our Savior, Your Holy Spirit, for His guidance and Your mighty kingdom. And we pray this in your precious name of Jesus. Amen. God is about to move, and we want to move with him. Hallelujah. Take care. Bye-bye.